Two Bible readings tonight, and the first of those is Psalm 1, and after that we'll be reading a few more verses from James. So first of all, Psalm 1, please look that up in your own Bible, and if you don't have one, the words will also be up on the screen behind me. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." And then turning over to James, and if you've been with us in previous weeks, you'll know that we've been preaching through the book of James. And tonight we're reading from James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. James writes, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Amen." Friends, one night this past week, Caroline and I turned on the TV and we happened to see a show called Hoarders. Now, perhaps you've seen this show. It's a program that documents the story of someone who has accumulated huge amounts of junk in their house or on their property and has great difficulty in sorting it out or throwing anything away. And in this particular episode that we saw, it was an elderly lady whose issue was hoarding food. She had mountains of unused groceries. Some of them were decades out of date, and she refused to part with any of it. She just could not see that the food was off, that it would harm her if she ate it, that it was attracting rodents, that it was clogging up her home, that it was ruining her life. And as I watched, it made me realize that this poor woman was completely and utterly self-deceived. She honestly thought she was doing a good thing and just couldn't see that it was actually a bad thing. She had convinced herself that she was making good decisions, but they were bad decisions. That her actions would bring good results, but they brought bad results. Made me wonder if I might be suffering from self-deception in my life. In what ways might I be doing the same thing? And maybe you ask yourself that question too. Friends, to be self-deceived is such a terrible thing because you convince yourself that you're on the right track, but you aren't. That what you're doing is positive, but it isn't. That everything's okay, but it's not. This is what James is speaking about in our passage this afternoon. For in the first verse of our reading, verse 22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. This isn't the only time that James mentions this in chapter 1. Back in verse 16, he said, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. A little later in verse 26, he says, "Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves." James is very concerned about this matter of self-deception. You see, there's some people in this world who think that they are Christians, who think they're in God's good books, think their sins are forgiven, think they're living a blessed life, think they're on the road to eternity, but yet they're tragically mistaken. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7? Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" That's such a shocking, shocking passage. These are people who were utterly convinced that they knew the Lord. They'd even preached to others about the Lord. They'd even done amazing things in the name of the Lord. But yet they didn't know him, and he didn't know them. That is self-deception. That's the ultimate self-deception. And that's what James is warning us about here tonight. But what does James actually say? He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Now, let's not get this wrong. James is not for even a minute suggesting that we should not listen to the word of God. In fact, he makes it abundantly clear that we should. Back in verse 18, he explained that our Heavenly Father chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Verse 21, he told us to humbly accept the word planted in you. Later in this passage, he will emphasize the importance of looking intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. But this is not only what James says, this is God's message throughout. He tells us over and over again to listen to him, that it should be, that listening to his word should be absolutely central to our very existence. Already in the Garden of Eden, we were told that the whole reason that sin entered this world was because Eve listened to the serpent and Adam listened to Eve, and neither of them listened to the Lord. That's where the problems began. Think of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Beautiful passage where God so clearly declares, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." There's also Psalm 1, which we read just a moment ago. The psalmist says, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." Or think of Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And in Hebrews chapter 4, we're told, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Friends, our entire lives should revolve around the Bible, for it's our only source of real truth. It's our only source of life. It's our only source of blessing. It's our spiritual food, and we need to feed on it constantly, or else we will die. That's why we spend time in the Bible every day in our personal quiet times, and in our family devotions. That's why the Bible is central to our worship services here at Riverbank and our growth groups and everything that we do, in fact. It's why we turn to the Bible at a baptism and at a wedding and at a funeral. It's why we make every decision in our own lives, but also in our church's life, with God's word in our hand and in our heart. It's just so vital that we do listen to the word of the Lord. But James's point is that we should not merely listen. His point is that hearing it, dwelling on it, remembering it, knowing it, it's not enough. James's point is that reading a Bible passage in and of itself is of no value. Listening to a sermon in and of itself is of no value. Hearing a good scriptural podcast in and of itself is of no value. Going to a Bible study in and of itself is of no value. Listening to the word is a waste of time if that's all you do, because we would be deceiving ourselves to think that that would be of benefit. James 1 verse 22 says we should not merely listen to the word, but we should do what it says. My friends, whenever God urges us to listen, he's doing that with the implicit understanding that we will not just listen, but that we will respond to him. That we will take his message into our minds and into our hearts, and that it will radically change the way that we speak and think and act. It should be clearly understood among us that we listen to the Bible's message not just for information, but for transformation. That's what we should desire. That's the whole point of it all. To listen without doing would be foolish. And that's what James goes on to illustrate, doesn't he, in verses 23 and 24. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. What's the point of looking in a mirror? Well, we do it to see what we look like. And as we see what we look like, we see things that need adjustment. Our hair may need brushing. Our face may need washing. Our makeup may need fixing. We may see that we're due for a haircut or a shave or some other kind of maintenance. But how ridiculous if you looked at your face and then immediately forgot what you saw. How crazy if you saw issues that need attention and then failed to deal with them. Well, that's James's point. How foolish if someone looked at their face in a mirror and after doing so forgot what they saw. And how much more foolish if someone looked at themselves in the mirror of God's word and then also immediately forgot what they saw. How ridiculous if we saw things that need fixing, but went on with our lives without another thought. So what is the wise and proper way to listen and look at God's word? James tells us, verse 25. He says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. That's God's clear message for us here this afternoon, that his word isn't just for hearing, but for doing. That it's not just for information, but transformation. We are called to actively respond to what he says. I mean, way back in the beginning, Adam and Eve's problem was that they heard God's word and then they ignored it. And what about those verses I quoted from Deuteronomy about God's commandments being on our hearts, impressed on our children, constantly kept before us? Listen what it says a few verses later. The Lord says, be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you. And what about Psalm 1? Does it just say, delight in God's law and meditate in it, on it? No, it doesn't. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. And what about those words of Jesus I mentioned right at the start from Matthew 7? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. A few verses later, he says this, therefore, everyone who listens to these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Do you notice? Both the wise and the foolish hear, but only the wise respond. That's James's point. It doesn't matter how much you know about God's word, or how many times you've read through it, or how many sermons you've heard, or how many studies you've led. It doesn't matter how many Bible passages you can quote from memory, or how many are hanging on the wall of your home, or how many you've posted on your social media. It doesn't matter how much you know about biblical doctrine and theology and spiritual things, because it all means nothing if you're not doing it. James calls us to look intently into the perfect law, to meditate on it, seeking to understand God's will for us. He calls on us to continue in it, to keep dwelling on that word every single day, persisting through our lives till the end. He calls on us to not forget what we've heard, to make it such a part of us that we know God's message without needing to be reminded. And most importantly of all, James tells us in the simplest of terms, just do it. I mean, what's the point of reading the instruction manual for your new kitchen appliance or your new power tool and then ignoring what it says? What's the point of reading God's instruction manual and then ignoring what it says? But what does it say? Well, let me start here. Mark chapter 1. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Acts chapter 2, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." John chapter 3, "Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You see, friends, this is not about salvation by works. James isn't saying, listen to God's instructions and then live a holy life, and as a result of that, you will eventually be good enough and God will accept your efforts as a payment for your sin. No. In the first place, James is saying, listen to the command of the gospel and respond to it in faith. God knows we could never even come close to earning his favor. But that's exactly why he gave his son, to live a righteous life in our place and to die an atoning death in our place. He did what we never could do, and we're called to put our trust in him. James is saying, hear the call of the gospel and respond in faith. And that's so important. That's the most important thing of all. Because sadly, there are people who've read the Bible their whole lives. People who've sat in church their whole lives. people who've listened to the gospel their whole lives, yet they have not come before the Lord in humility and put their faith in Him. That's self-deception. I really hope this isn't you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Stop depending on yourself. Stop thinking that you're good enough. Stop pretending that you've earned your way into heaven. Please respond to God's call to put your entire hope and reliance on Jesus Christ and on Him alone. But James is also telling us that once we have put our faith in Jesus and received His glorious salvation, that Jesus then calls on us to devote ourselves to Him. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And so, having experienced this glorious grace of God, we now long to live the life we've been saved for. As Paul says in Ephesians 4, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." And so we want to listen to God's message, and we want to do what He says. There's so many aspects to this. There's the Ten Commandments, where the Lord shows His redeemed people how to live before Him. There's the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus applies God's will to the church. There's the greatest commands, calling us to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. There's the Great Commission, calling on us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the triune God and teaching them to obey everything He commanded. And friends, in fact, we can think of every single page of our Bible where our Lord lovingly shows us His perfect law that leads to true freedom. As James concludes this brief section that we're looking at tonight, he tells us that those who do not merely listen to the word but do what it says, that they'll be blessed in all in what they do. Friends, living God's way does not bring about hardship and oppression and misery, as so many like to think. Living God's way brings about the most wonderful life that you could ever imagine, because it draws us closer to the God who made us. It gives us a deep assurance of His salvation. It gives us the best life possible here on this earth, and it prepares us for that day, that glorious day when we'll be with Him forevermore. Psalm 1, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night." That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. How beautiful. Do you want a life that truly is free and fruitful and, quite frankly, fantastic? Well, devote yourself to living God's way. But yet there's still those who deceive themselves. They think it doesn't matter to ignore God's will. They think He doesn't care if they live with sexual immorality in their lives. They think He doesn't care if they put worldly pleasures and treasures first of all, or if they don't control their temper, or if they blaspheme, or if they cheat and lie, or if they never pray, or if they pretend that they're not a Christian when they're at work, or if they never use their gifts to serve in the church, or if they're just full of pride or criticism or apathy or whatever it might be. How terrible to be self-deceived, to really think you're on the right track, but you aren't on it at all. To think you know the Lord, but you don't. To think you're heading for eternal life, but you're not. James says, the self-deceived hear the word of God, but they do not do it. They don't truly believe. They don't seek to obey. They don't serve. They don't love. They don't care. They know the right answers, but they fail to live out those answers. Will you listen and respond to God's word tonight? Let's not be like the hoarder who just can't see the mess in their life and are determined that they will not clean it up. I'm sure we all know areas where we still are falling short. Let's pray that we would not be self-deceived, but rather self-aware. Let's pray that we would not be like that man who looks in the mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would work in us and that he would apply God's word deep into our hearts. And as he changes us and molds us into the image of Christ, we'll discover what it means to truly experience God's blessing as we walk in his love and his joy, as we live the very life that we were created for, and as we look forward to the glory that awaits. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, where would we be without it? It's a lamp to our feet, it's a light to our path. It's the very spiritual food that gives us life. But Lord, at the same time, we recognize how easy it is to read our Bible and to not be affected. Lord, to hear a sermon, but yet not apply it to our own lives. Lord, to come in contact with your message, but to be left cold. And Father, we pray that that would not be us. Father, we pray that we would not be self-deceived, thinking that that's okay. Lord, help us not only to hear and to listen to your word, but to do it. And Father, as we think about this now, we pray that you would work in each one of us and help us to think about those areas where that may be very relevant to us. Lord, that we know what you want us to do, but yet we do not do it. Lord, work in us. Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit can overcome our sinful natures. Help us to yield to your will and to live for you. Lord, help us truly to live lives worthy of this glorious calling that you have placed on our lives. And Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.